Live from the Fox Studios on Clarendon Street with Melbourne's own.
Here we go. We are fully invested in SAS Australia. We watched last night. It returns Monday night, 7:30 on Channel 7 and 7 Plus. Nick and I have even gone ahead and watched some preview. We can't get enough of this. One of the stars who made his exit last night was our good mate Manu. And we're going to play this moment. If you're not watching the show, it is hardcore. These are celebrities. They're actors. They're sports people. They're chefs. And they're being put through proper SAS training. Now, Ant Middleton, the DS, was telling them they were about to be put into a
car. A big car.
It was going to be submerged in water and they had to get out. And you're going to hear the audio. Manu, our dear friend, is number six.
And the safest place to go down is in water. There's a DS in the vehicle right now. That will be you. Seatbelt on. Hands on steering wheels. You'll be lowered into the water. You haven't even tried it, number six, have you?
I know.
You know?
Yep.
But how do you know?
I'm giving you my number, Steph.
You sure?
Yep.
Are you sure you want to give me your number?
Yes, Steph.
Come and give it to me.
It's my favourite exit on the show this far, and we've got Manu joining us live from Sydney. Manu, it was the confidence with which you handed your number over, and the ant could not talk you into staying.
I felt like saying, don't you understand English? You want me to say it in French?
But did you, when you were sick, because I don't think anyone's ever left before attempting the challenge. You just heard what it is, and what happened in your brain? What did you decide?
No, it wasn't on the day. It was the day before already. You know, when I was high in 30 meters on this rail, I was already going, what the heck am I doing here? Even though that I was wanted to do that challenge, walking, you know, in the sky, my legs was jelly. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And then the next challenge was the tunnel. Oh. And then I thought, I can't do this, all right? And I didn't get to do the tunnel because Sam Burgess was in there for too long and the day was running out. But then the DS says, don't worry about you guys. You're going to be doing this as well. And I lost sleep over that. I couldn't sleep all night. And then I said, I'm going home. And then the next morning I said, no, listen, I'm going to try that next challenge just to see what it is. And we drove for like 45 minutes to this lake and I saw the car hanging over the water. And I was already saying, all right, you go for it, buddy. You can talk as much as you want because I'm going.
Mate, you seem like you're in pretty good nick. I hope you don't mind me saying that. But, mate, when you had your top off, you'd lost a lot of weight. You look great. So
I was the lightest and the fittest I've ever been since I was 20 years old.
How long did you train for that? Because you look fit.
I trained for 6 months.
Before you went on?
Yeah. I physically was top form, and it's just the psychological stuff that I couldn't handle with. And because, simply as I said, I've got a much better life at home. You know what I mean?
Well, there was.
I wanted to push myself physically, and I knew I could do that, but I wasn't aware. You can't train the mental stuff.
Mind.
You know, you can't do that. So we didn't have that training, and I was soft.
Well, I don't think you're soft at all because I think you got through the toughest challenge a French chef would ever face. My wife's family, the French people in her family, the most French thing I've ever heard anyone say was you over breakfast.
The course's limited rations is testing celebrity chef Manu Fieldel.
You're not having much luck with this.
I'm trying. You don't normally eat porridge? Well, not like this.
No, I don't eat porridge. Full stop.
Oh, full stop, man. You're gonna need the carbs,
food.
Man.
I eat food.
I'm just offering. Do you want it?
Oh, if you don't throw away, I'm eating. Yeah, no way. You cannot throw food away, monsieur. Monsieur, qu'est-ce que tu fais? Huh?
That's not food, man.
Oh, pal. It's even better for moi.
The porridge, I thought I was going to see you quit over breakfast.
I'm telling you, there's only one thing in life that I don't enjoy is porridge. If you have to add fruits and honey and sugar to a thing to make it taste good, what's the point to have it in the first place?
It's
cardboard, wet cardboard. That's what that is.
Do you know, and speaking of food, Manu, I know you're back on because yesterday I was watching you on Insta make what is the looked like the most amazing sauce for your steak.
He literally got,
but
yeah.
I don't know, I had it on mute because I had my baby with me, but I just saw butter and then I saw you get a whole block of blue cheese and melt it into the butter.
Yum.
And I just went, I reckon he's out of SAS mode. Yeah.
Now his arteries are in it.
No, hang on. It was a steak with a salad on the side and the sauce. It's not, you know, chips and potatoes and, you know.
You're right. It looked amazing. Now, back onto SAS for a second, though. Can you take, because you were in there. You were in the mess with these people. And there's lots of things that wouldn't go to air. Like, who do you think is the most mentally and physically is fit enough to do this course and win it? What's the insight you can give us into the other people in there?
I think, listen, anyone who's been a sports athlete for many years, people who've been forced to push themselves to the limits, you know, Olympians and all of those guys, that their life is to better themselves on a daily basis and suffer to be number one. I think those guys have got a better chance than me.
Yeah, yes.
Mate, this year you've ticked off dancing again. You've been SAS. What's next? Love Mate, Island, I'm, Survivor, I'm, Jungle.
I just want to host. I don't want to do anything else.
Well, we love having you on the telly, even if it was very briefly on SAS Australia.
The honesty is the best.
I know. Best. Still, I just loved it. I'm not doing it. I'm out. And the quote, I've just got a good life. I don't need to do this. Manu, we look forward to seeing you on the tellies again soon. But right now, you can keep watching this Monday night, 7:30 on Channel 7 and 7 Plus. Thank you for joining us, Manu.
Thank you. Thanks, Fifi, Fev
and Nick. I was very excited yesterday morning. One of the directing staff from SAS Australia, Ant Middleton, came on the show. I love him. I'm out of breath from a sprint.
He'd be
reminding
proud.
Me that I could never be on SAS Australia.
Ones and or twos?
What's oh, that?
Where'd you go?
Didn't just ran. I was just running, prepping for
just
the next
for
season.
Just for no reason?
Yeah, that's me, man. Get the steps in early. But Fee, you said in the meeting yesterday that you weren't flirting with him.
No, I wasn't.
You were absolutely flirting.
No, I was not. The one show I'll never celebrity do is your show. But 100%. I tell you what, when you get up close like that, it's the one part I do want. Like,
you're probably passing.
I know. It's just like, it's the best. It's, I don't know how they don't. It's just.
If you see me abseiling through your window and smashing through your window and putting a black bag over your head, then you know you'll be gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, faint. Okay. <That'd be> amazing. That's not how I remember it. I was just
that's
going
how it happened.
Does that sound like flirting?
100%.
No, just having a chat.
She said she would faint.
To him, he's like, oh. What I meant was because he's so intimidating, like scared, like, and he just gets so close to you. Like, I don't know. There's something,
Fiona, yeah. I said that you would pash him, and you said, I'd like that.
Remember, I'm not kidding. I don't remember saying that.
Do you want to hear it again?
I don't need to hear it again. I have heard it. Okay.
You were flirting?
Might have it. Yeah, you might have me. You might have
you? 1,000% have you.
Do you remember those things we did about 6:15, about the 8 things that could get you fired?
Yes.
Dishonesty was one of them.
Do you think I get fired for that?
No, but for lying to us,
because in my mind I wasn't flirting. I was professionally trying to keep that conversation on track. That's what I was trying to do.
That little sound grab, it's our main sound man, Costa, he's been pretty busy, and we know you love a remix.
Oh, that's a bit much.
That is. That's really,
a bit much for 8:15.
Making that noise.
Oh, God.
There's one
Fiona.
More. No. Push it good.
Push it real good. Might be a meeting after the show, guys.
What was the list of things you could get in trouble for?
I think Nick just got yourself in trouble. I distanced myself from that.
I didn't make that noise. Sure.
I did too. I mentioned everyone's name out there.
Yeah, to chuck Leon under the bus. Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Now we're 6 eps into 9 Perfect Strangers. We can't get enough of these stories, and we can't get enough of the author of these stories. And finally, we are speaking to her, Leanne Moriarty. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show, Leanne.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Morning. Oh, Leanne. And what is great news is it was a big day yesterday for fans of yours, and people who haven't read your books really should, because your new book, Apples Never Fall, it dropped yesterday. It's available now. Leanne, that's got to be a big moment for an author. Is it the day it just sort of, is it like your baby going out into the world?
Yes, it's a very strange feeling. Anxious and excited and sort of exhausted.
I'm sure, I bet. And, I mean, the success of, well, obviously your books, that you've experienced huge success, but now the success of your story's been, translated into television series. Yeah. Has that changed in any way the way you write? Like, does suddenly, I imagine when you started writing, it was in your own bubble. That's, as an author, you're in your own world. But now any pen or you put to paper, the whole world is watching, going, what is this bit of gold she's spinning?
Well, I have to write the book, so I have to go back into that bubble and not think about future adaptations, especially because I have my characters thinking a lot, so I have a lot of internal monologues, so I can't start thinking about the future adaptations. Even with Nine Perfect Strangers, I had a noble silence part of the retreat where they didn't talk for ages on end.
Oh, that's good. Don't have to write.
Speaking
more
about Nine Perfect Strangers, now there's in the book, it's an about an AFL player, and obviously in the TV series, it's an NFL player played by Tony. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now the AFL player, who's that about? Anyone in particular?
Well, no, there really wasn't, but because I don't know, I honestly don't know anything. I have an embarrassing lack of knowledge about AFL. But then apparently there was. You can tell me there was some player who sounds very similar to, yeah, because I described his tattoos, didn't I?
Yeah, it sounds very similar to me.
This is Brendan Favola who is thinking of him.
Oh, this is even more embarrassing. Have you got tattoos on?
Yeah, I've got tattoos. I've been in rehab. I had problems. I divorced. Yeah, it sounds very similar to me.
Honestly, I had nobody in my mind. No.
Leanne, you love this. Right, we had Bobby Cannavale on the show recently, and Fev pretty much, he convinced Bobby that he was playing him.
did he really?
I did.
Now, what I love about, I have been able to get hold of the book, Leanne, and already I'm loving it. Now, it's based on a family of tennis players, and you're able to capture the nuances of the people you portray in your book so well. Do you have, is tennis something from your past?
Yeah, no, now I can be caught out on tennis too, because I don't have a tennis background. I did play just recreationally, but no, I don't follow the tennis. So I did do an embarrassing radio interview very recently for the UK, where he was saying to me, and I can't believe you're releasing this book on today of all days. And I was thinking, what's he talking about? I don't know. You all know, I bet, because of the young British player who won the
she won the US Open. Yes.
I know, how embarrassing. so no, tennis is a backdrop to the story, and it's about players who didn't make it. So what I got interested in is if you have the talent and you make all the sacrifices, and then in the end you don't actually make it, which is the case for the vast majority of tennis players.
Have you thought about when it goes to the big screens, who would play those roles? Because one Fifi Box, who you're talking to right now, our co-host, our captain, she was a Wonga Park under 14. No, I think you're runner-up.
I think I could be Brooke, maybe.
You could be.
Yeah, thank you, Leanne.
Fifi was really down there when you said when tennis players have all the talent and ability but don't make it, Fee dropped her head.
She did drop her head. Now, Leanne, I guess the biggest thing that we all can't stop thinking about is the fact that you've got these Hollywood stars that just can't get enough of you. When that all started, when Nicole and obviously Reese Witherspoon reached out and wanted to produce your story, has that just been a huge shift in your life? I imagine they're your mates now, they're friends, but it must have been huge for you.
Yes, there have been some amazing moments. I have to say my normal day-to-day life is exactly the same. So I still sit at my computer. There have just been some glamorous interludes. But even, the glamorous interludes, there are people ready to bring me down. So, for example, going to the Emmys, sitting in the back of the car with my husband, and I can always remember a policeman stopping us on the way, and he said to the driver, "So have you got a celebrity in the back there?" And the driver said, "Nope."
Oh, no!
And then the policeman said, "So this way then." So we had to go the roundabout way.
Oh, that's brutal.
I'm kept grounded.
Does Nicole or Reese or any of the big stars that you are mates with that are the big celebrities, do they ring you up and say, "Mate, put pen to paper, write another book, I want to be in your new film"?
Well, this one, there really wasn't a role for, this one has been optioned by David Heyman, who's the producer of the Harry Potter films and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So I know everybody thinks that every single book I write will have a role for Nicole, but I think she wouldn't want, there really isn't in this particular book.
Nicole just stands through waiting for the statuesque blonde or redhead. Yeah. Where am I fitting in?
The tennis player that just didn't quite make it.
She was absolutely there in Nine Perfect Strangers. I could see her for Masha right from the beginning. Fifi, Fev and Nick.
You can't stop the doggies. We are a week away from the Dogs heading out at Optus Stadium, and they are going to dominate. They are going to destroy. And I say that because I am a born, bred Bulldogs Footscray supporter. And earlier in the show, I mentioned the 1989 Fight Back campaign. And we fought for this club. And there was a man playing at that time. His name was Tony Liberatore. And he was everything.
Loved him.
I'm really personally pumped because we are now joined by his son and premiership player from 2016, Tom Liberatore. Tom Liber.
Hello.
Time difference, he's not as fired up. It is 6:48 in Perth.
I thought I sounded a bit more awake than that, but clearly not.
Mate, obviously, it's what is it, 20 to 7, you're in bed, you're in your resort. How's it all going over there, mate? You've had a couple little training sessions, probably have a big training session tomorrow, a week out. How's it all travelling?
Nah, it's not too bad. It's pretty good now after I heard that song. It's got me up and about.
Fev, I know you hate a night grand final, but a morning grand final sounds pretty grim as well.
I reckon Libby will be done. Now, you're obviously over there, mate. You're in a resort. You've been travelling for the last month. You're with all the boys. You've left your family at home. I know you've got your kids at home and your partner now. Who's the most annoying teammate?
Most annoying teammate? There's a lot of them. They're annoying in a good way. I don't know. Who's most annoying? Oh, Mitch Wallace is pretty annoying. He's up there.
Well, you were schoolmates with Mitchie Wallace. That's right, isn't it? You went to school together and then you got drafted together, played in a premiership together. That's a pretty good story.
Yeah, it's great. He plays some pretty annoying music sometimes, but or Toby McLean plays some pretty average tunes as well. But no, everyone's pretty annoying in their own way. It's good.
Tom, I want to ask, I've always wanted to ask this question of you. So your dad, obviously a superstar and a Brownlow medalist, and you are a premiership player. How does that go at the dinner table? Who has a better claim on that? Is it the Brownlow winner or is it the premiership player?
Obviously the premiership player, but he thinks it's the Brownlow medalist.
Of course.
Individual award, but I messaged him after the game and said that Port Adelaide broke your longest preliminary final losing streak because he lost two in a row as well. So.
He did lose two in a row. Oh, that's harsh. Yeah. How'd he take that?
No, he's all right. He just sent me back a picture of his Brownlow.
Nah. Tom, next time that gets brought up, you say, "Dad, I am way better than Shane Woden." All right, never forget.
Hey, Tommy, you might have two. So when you go to the dinner table, you might go, hey, Dad, your Brownlow's good, but I've got two of these puppies now.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
That's the go. That's what we're hoping for.
Hey, who's going to keep the... I've seen you boys after every game, which is a... I was actually talking to Brucey a couple of days ago, and obviously he's missed. He's injured round 21. He's going to miss out on playing in the grand final. But after every game, you turn the lights off, you have a beer, and you play that Gaga song, and you jump up and down. What's it like? Is it back in the old days, you know, we used to love a beer after the game, but not really in the rooms. Is that a great thing that Bont's brought into the boys?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think we've had a few... Because we won early on, like we had a few wins. I think we won four or five in a row. So we just sort of thought, oh, we'd better save the moment a bit more. So yeah, you get the coaches in as well, and just a good way to wind down and enjoy a good win.
Just have to keep the leash on Bailey Smith, because I reckon he'd be one loose unit.
No, he's all right. I've got him under my wing, so he's all good.
If you get the win, Libba, Doggies win the grand final, surely you're not racing back to Melbourne while we're in lockdown. Have you found a nice spot over there in Perth to hang out for a few weeks?
Well, yeah, I think the hotel's not a bad setup, so I think I'm sure we'll enjoy a few days together.
Now, Libba, I did text you yesterday, mate, and say that our number one tick, your number one ticket holder, self-proclaimed Fifi Box. Mm-hmm. She's been a doggy since birth. She loves the Bulldogs. Now, she's written a rev-up speech for you, mate, and she wants to deliver it to you. She thinks it's going to get you over the line next Saturday. I'm going to throw it over to Fifi Box. Here we go.
Okay, now, Tom, I do realise it's 10 to 7 in the morning where you are, and this might not be what you need right this minute, but I want you to carry this forward in about 8 days, okay?
Well, sounds like I need it, actually. So
Here we go. I'll get you up and about. Tom, I don't know what to say, really. We are 1 week to the biggest battle of your professional life, and it all comes down to that day. Either we heal as a team, or we're going to crumble inch by inch, play by play, until we're finished. We're in hell right now, Tom, and believe me, we can stay here and we can get the crap kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell, Tom. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old and I've never actually played a game of football. But I can tell you, we fight for an inch on this team. We tear ourselves and everyone else around us apart. We claw with every fingernail, because that's going to make the difference between winning and losing, between living and dying. I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom, Tom. You don't want the truth, because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honour, codes, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. And I see a whole army of doggies here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight, Tom? Dying in your bed many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell the demons that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom?
What do you think?
Tuck back into bed. Thank you.
Thanks, Tommy. Hey, that was unbelievable, Fifi. Thanks, Tommy. Good luck next Saturday. Hey, mate, Boxy, that was brilliant. You got Any Given Sunday in there. You got Braveheart.
Oh. Like that.
That was absolutely brilliant.
Few good men.
You can't handle this. I think Tommy needs his sleep.
He's gone.
He's gone back to bed. Well done, Fiona.
That was amazing.
That was brilliant.
Good morning, I'm James Slake, and this is the Fifi Fev and Nick Bulletin. It's finals fever in Australia, with the AFL prelims taking place over the weekend, and the Bulldogs and Demons are now heading into the grand final in WA next week, with plenty of support from broadcaster Fifi Box.
The Herald Sun on Saturday did an article about the Doggies, Western Bulldogs, and I saw that I had a quote in the Herald Sun.
Mm.
But I never spoke to the Herald Sun, and I certainly didn't put forward a quote.
Yes, well, I did the quote.
Good luck to my little pups. 2016 is in the past.
What's when they won the premiership?
Yeah.
Let's make 2021 last. Woof, woof, she said.
Did you have to do a woof, woof?
Apparently Bevo is going to give you a call to give you the big down the Zoom line before they run out for the granny.
No, I love if Fee gets to do it in person. They don't let Eddie Maguire in, but Fee gets to Fee go goes
Life in lockdowns, driving more and more Australians into dobbing on their neighbours after this week some Melbourne kids were told off for drawing with chalk on the street.
Let's draw attention to party poopers this morning.
Ash in Coburg. Hey, Ash.
My new neighbour just moved in and the first couple of days, you know, I bought a new soundbar, you know, beats will be dropped. And then I get a note at my door just to let you know from the beginning that your bass is too loud and you need to lower your bass.
Totally addicted to bass.
I moved the subby on the other side of the house. And I'm considerate. Like, if she lets me know what genre she's into, I will play that.
Oh.
If she tells me she wants Eminem, I'll put on Eminem.
You can't see Fee's face. I think she's on the neighbour's side. She's horrified. Fee is horrified.
The hugely successful SAS Australia kicked off this week with star Ant Middleton finding himself the subject of a crush from a well-known Australian.
One of the directing staff from SAS Australia, Ant Middleton, came on the show. I love him. Fee, you were absolutely flirting.
You see me abseiling through your window and smashing through your window and putting a black bag over your head.
Oh, faint. That'd be amazing.
Does that sound like flirting?
100%.
Just having a chat.
She said she would faint.
I'm not kidding. I don't remember saying that.
Do you want to hear it again?
I don't need to hear it again. I have heard it. Yep. Okay.
You were flirting?
Might have it. Yeah, you might have me. You might have
it. We also had some handy hints released this week to help people from losing their jobs.
In the paper, they've revealed 8 things you didn't know you could be fired for.
You're fired.
Oh. This is a warning shot, isn't it?
I'd probably tick all 8 of them, I reckon.
Using insulting language.
Well,
yeah.
You'd be done.
You're done.
Divulging information about the business. So talking about the business to people.
Done that.
Yep.
Yep. We're in trouble here.
Dishonesty.
Not really.
Dishonesty, like that's,
he's
that's
lying,
such a broad.
Obviously.
Victoria's topped the list of the sexiest suburbs according to sales of adult toys, with the area of South Melbourne taking out top spot.
Now I want to talk about a list about Melbourne's sexiest suburbs.
What's it based on?
Well, I don't like that bit.
Oh no.
That's actually based on people's consumption of sex toys.
Oh,
that's all right.
Anyway, so based on the sales of sex toys in suburbs around the Melbourne,
rabbits.
Where will I come in from? I'll come in from the other end.
Hang on.
Hey,
don't. Whoa.
No,
God, rephrase that, Toxie.
There was a historical moment in politics this week as well, as leaders Boris Johnson, Joe Biden and Scott Morrison announced a new alliance with the large countries.
Good news this morning, an historic joint announcement with the United States and the United Kingdom and Australia. They're getting together to focus on nuclear technology. Big international press conference. There was Joe Biden, Boris Johnson and Scott Morrison. He was in Canberra at his podium. And then Joe Biden makes the announcement and says this.
Thank you, Boris, and I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal.
We get that a bit on our show when we get people that ring up by Alpha Bucks. Hey, Fev, hey, Fee.
Hey, champ. G'day, champ. G'day, boss.
That's it from the newsroom. For more Fee, Fee, Fev and Nick, grab the podcast from the Listener app, and as Fee, Fee always says,
I am Nicki Minaj.